Yes, you are.
First time I sang this song was at the Bible when Brother Sheets was here. And everybody seemed to like the song. Brother Sheets said, I don't like that much stuff. Call upon your name. All my life I've been a sinner, and for that I am ashamed. But I heard that you would listen, so I'm giving you my plea. Unworthy, Lord, to come to you, could you please come down to me? I know that there are others who can offer more than I.
Amen.
I promise you, I understand. If for me you had no time. I think I just hit bottom, and I'm looking off to sea. I'm unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? I guess I must be reaping from the seeds that I have sown. Lord, you owe me nothing. We haven't spoken for so long. You could spare some mercy.
Preaching again from the book of Titus. And so we want to turn back there tonight, if you would, the book of Titus, chapter 3. Tonight was in chapter 2 this morning. And we're going to look at Titus chapter 3 a few minutes here tonight. And Titus chapter 3, we'll read 11 verses out of Titus chapter 3. We won't read any verses together tonight. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done,
yes,
but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonishment reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Thank you, may be seated. Lord, we thank you tonight for this good crowd, Lord, that you give us tonight to preach to. We thank you for each one that has made their way back to the place of worship tonight, the house of God. Lord, we thank you for the word of God, and Lord, we come and thank you for what you have done today, but Lord, in our hearts, still always needing the Lord to do something in our hearts again, revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in thee. Lord, we pray you take these verses we've read tonight, it is food for the child of God. Lord, it's instruction for us, and I pray you'd open up our understanding that we might be able to see something out of this that would help us tonight.
Yes.
Thank you for every effort that's been made to get here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'll give them something, if not already, I pray you will give them something, Lord, that make it worth the effort, Lord. And I know it's our duty, Lord, to do it. You told us to do it. You told us to be faithful, to be in the house of God. It's our duty to do it, but we know, Lord, also that, Lord, we have a free will. We don't have to do it. Lord, we probably wish we will someday, had it someday, but we don't have to. But I thank you for these that have come out tonight. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I ask you to fill me afresh, Lord, with the Holy Spirit, that I might be able to preach tonight the wonderful word of God. Lord, check every heart tonight. Those that are unsaved, I pray you'd save them.
Yes.
Lord, somebody may be cold, backslid, long ways from God. Lord, I pray you might draw them back to you tonight. And those of us, Lord, that are doing our best to stay close to you and hold on to the Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight, Lord, draw a little bit closer still. And we'll be careful tonight to give you all the praise for these favors we ask and thank you for. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
As I said this morning, Paul is writing to Pastor Titus, who seems to be maybe wanting to leave where he's at there, and Paul urges him to stay there. He says, don't leave, stay there, because he said there's some things that need to be set in order. And so in these 46 verses that he in the book, 46 verses in the whole book, he gives much instruction tonight for the preacher. Titus, he gives a couple chapters there instructing the preacher about some things he needs to know about. And then he focuses in on the congregation of people, those that are there. And then he brings it down personal, which is where I want to go tonight. He brings it personal tonight to every believer. Now, in chapter 3, we have the Word of God paints for us a picture tonight of the past of the Christian, of the present of the Christian, and of the future of the child of God. And that's what we want to look at tonight, just for a brief time here this evening. We want to look at the past, the present, and the future of a child of God. Now he says in verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. I said in verse 2, he said, speak evil of no man. And that's a big order, isn't it? That's hard to do. But yet there it is in the Word of God. He says, speak evil of no man. As I said this morning, it's hard not to when you've got a president like we've got. But yet that's what he said, speak evil of no man. I know he's coming on tonight to make a speech tonight. I know lots of y'all are anxious to hear it. And so I'll do what I can to get you out on time. And he's going to be, he's probably no doubt going to be talking about, him and I do have something in common. He's worried about global warming, and so am I. But the one he's worried about, he's worried about what Al Gore started about some years ago. The one I'm worried about is found in 2 Peter 3, where the Bible said that, know this also, he said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some man count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. But he said, the day of the Lord will come. In which the heavens and the earth shall melt with a fervent heat.
That's right.
And they're going to pass away. So there is going to be a global warming.
Of course,
you know everything, every false thing in the world, every false thing the devil has is a copy of something God's doing.
That's right.
We talk about one world order. Well, there is going to be a one world order.
Amen.
But it's going to be under Jesus Christ someday. It's not going to be a bunch of sinners that get it together and bunch of religions that come together. They tried that back in Genesis 11, and the Lord didn't like it, and he split it up, and they ain't never been able to get back together since. So I'm sure that when the Lord wants us to get together, we will. And one of these days, there is going to be a one-world government. Amen.
That's right.
A few years ago, they had this thing, No Child Left Behind. Well, the Lord, there ain't no child of God going to be left behind when Jesus comes. There won't be none left behind. They'll all be taken. I mean, every way you go, it's always something, but it's always a type of a truth in the Word of God. The devil is false, and he is an imitator. And you know, we got church here tonight, and the devil has a church. You know, God has his preachers tonight. The devil has preachers. God has his songs tonight. The devil has his songs.
Amen.
And on and on we can go, you know, along that line. But I want us to look here tonight in the Word of God, and I want us to think just for a minute. I think most people here tonight would profess salvation. Most people here tonight, if not all, the people here tonight would testify to the fact that they've been saved by the grace of God. And if you've been saved tonight by the grace of God, there's three things in this scripture tonight pertaining to us tonight. And first of all, we see in verse 3 where the Bible says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. Now, what is that? That's our past. That's what the Bible says, that all of us were like. Now, past is like opinions. Everybody has one. You have a past tonight. There's not anybody in this room tonight that doesn't have a past. But when we get saved, we need to get past it. Amen, because God has forgiven us of it. It's cast in the sea of forgiveness to be remembered no more against us. And so we need to forget our past. I said back a month or so ago preaching one night, I said one of the problems with marriages and one of the problems is they can't, people can't get past their past. And the best marriage in the Bible starts out with everything in the past forgotten and forgiven. You say, what is that? That's Jesus Christ and his church.
Right.
He forgets everything in our, every bad thing in our past. He forgets it, he forgives us of it, forgets it, and we go on with it. Amen. But there's folks that have been married for 20 years and they're still fighting over something back in the past. And you know, God doesn't want that. And you have to get past your past to have a good marriage. You got to get past your past to have a good Christian life.
Right.
You know, I know some Christians that every new day God gives them, they run it because they drag some old thing from the past back over in it every day. Don't do that. God's given you a new life. He saved you. God's given you something new to look forward to. So don't always be going back into your past. Now, I know the devil, now he won't let us forget our past. I know he's very good at bringing up our past and pointing out our past at just the right time. Now, you can't help that. The devil's going to do that. But I found out some time ago
that every time he brings up our past, that we just need to bring up his future.
Yes.
Every time he reminds me of my old sinful, rotten, dirty past, I just need to turn over Revelation 20 and say, yeah, I got a past here, but God's word said you got a future, that one day you're going to be bound in a bottomless pit. And then when you get out of there, you're going from there into the lake of fire.
Amen.
You're going from the frying pan, you're going from there into the fire. Amen.
Amen, brother.
And so that's where we get that at. So here we see that God is talking about the past of a child of God. What does he say about us? Well, he says that we were disobedient.
Yes, we were.
And he uses the word foolish, he said. We were sometimes foolish and disobedient. Now, we can see that now, but we couldn't see it then. We disobeyed God, and maybe somebody tried to get us to go to church or tried to get us to do right, and we disobeyed, rebelled against that, and we thought we was doing the right thing. But we found out after we got saved that that was foolish to disobey the Lord. How many knows tonight it's always foolish to disobey the Lord?
Yep.
Now, we've all disobeyed the Lord. We've all done that. And somewhere we sit with our head down and holding our hands and thinking, man, why did I do that? Why did I disobey God? Don't you reckon Jonah asked that question?
Right. Yeah.
Why did I disobey the Lord? Don't you reckon Samson probably asked that when he was down there blind and grinding their meal?
Yep.
And he probably asked, why did I disobey the Lord? Well, like I said, we all do it. But as a child of God, we come to a place in our life where we learn that it's better to obey the Lord than to pay the consequences. How many times the Lord has asked me to do something, and especially in the line of witness to somebody, or go and talk to somebody.
Yes.
And some of the greatest regrets I have is a few times when God really put it on my heart to go see somebody.
Yep.
And Brother Ed, whatever reason, I disobeyed. I didn't go right then. It wasn't that I didn't say I'm not going to go. But it was just a thing that I didn't want to go right then or whatever. And I found out later it was too late.
Yes.
And God knew what he was doing when he put it upon my heart for me to go right then. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to encourage you tonight that if the Lord puts somebody on your heart,
amen,
yes,
right.
Strongly, it's always important to witness and pass out tracts and talk to people about the Lord. That's always right. But I'll tell you, it's really important and it's really right when God puts somebody on your heart.
Virgin. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Have you ever had God to put somebody on your heart? And you just had to, you knew that you had to go see them. You didn't want to because you felt like they wouldn't receive you or whatever. But whenever that happens, always go. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes when that happens, we try to get somebody else to go. But God didn't put it on somebody else's heart.
Right.
God put it on your heart or my heart. And so I've learned over the years that it's better to just go ahead and go. And I've learned, and even just recently, I've learned that if God puts it on my heart strong and I go, Brother Eddie, God is usually already working on the other end, and it works out in some way or another. Amen?
Yep.
So the Bible said we were disobedient. Disobedient. Didn't want to go to church. Maybe you had to say, why? Wife said, won't you go to church with him? You wouldn't go. No, I won't go. Disobedient. You wouldn't go. Maybe a husband saved, the wife wouldn't say, disobedient, wouldn't go. But now when you look back over that, you're able to see tonight that it would have been the right thing to do. It would have been better to just go ahead and obey the Lord and go on.
Yes, sir.
God bless you from it for it. Amen. And then we see, he says here, and sometimes people say, why do sometimes you preachers use words that start with the same letter?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you do that? Well, several reasons. One, it makes it easier for you to understand. It puts it in a place where you can remember what's being said. But also, you'll find out that the Bible's kind of wrote that way. God wrote the Bible kind of that way. If you look there in verse 3, the Bible says disobedient. And then it uses the word deceived. And then it uses the word divers lust. See how the Bible does that?
Yep. Right.
So when preachers do that, and A lot of people think, well, you know, that's just them. No, it might be the Holy Spirit, Brother David, working in that preacher. And just like when the Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God, He put it down like that. Why? So it'd be easier for us to remember that. There's lots of places in the Bible where I've noticed that God has alliterated the Scriptures, verses, right, so that you and I can remember them and see them.
Amen.
But you know, of all the Bible translations, if we want to use that word, that the King James Bible is without a doubt the best Bible, mm-hmm, for remembering Scripture.
Yes, right. Amen.
Because it's wrote in the style of the King's English.
Yep.
And it makes it easier to read.
Yep.
I think it was me and Marty, maybe, I'm not sure. Me and somebody was talking this week, and a fellow had said that he used the NIV. And he said it was easier to be understood. Well, according to not me, according to people that know about it, the NIV is wrote on a freshman college level. That's what it's wrote on, a freshman college level. The King James Bible is wrote on an eighth grade reading level. So, that's just an excuse. I was down at the Bible bookstore this week. I went down to see Michelle, and I went by the bookstore because somebody had told me about a new study Bible. I'm always interested in new study Bibles, and I went by, and sure enough, they had one. And I began to look at it, and I kind of liked it, but I looked at it. The only thing, Brother Eddie, they made it in NIV, they made it in a New King James, they made it in a lot of other things, but no King James. So I just put it back on the shelf. I probably could have got something out of it anyway, but I just put it back on the shelf. And while I was standing there looking at it, there was an older man and an older woman. Oh, I'd say this probably in their 70s, and you can tell, you know, this country probably didn't have a lot. And they were there and they were looking at them Bibles. And she said, "I need to get me a new study Bible." And he began to pick them up. And he said, "Well, Ma," he said, "here's one here." And she said, "Yeah, but said that ain't the King James Bible."
Amen.
And he said, "Well, there ain't much difference there." Of course, I'm just biting my tongue, wanting to get in on the conversation, but I thought I'd wait and see how it went.
Amen, brother.
And she said, he said, "Well, so what about this here Bible?" He said, "Ma," said, "this and here, said it's King James." And she said, "No, it ain't." She said, "It's the New King James."
Praise
and
the Lord.
She said, "I don't want it because I've heard they change words in the New King James Bible. And I don't want it. I just want me an old King James Bible." And I tell you, I just had to bite my tongue and keep running high and shouting, praise God, because most of the time it goes the other way.
Yeah, exactly.
Whole time I'm praying no clerk will come by, because if a clerk comes by, they're going to tell you to get the other. They're easier to read and all this stuff. Yep. Amen.
Yep.
And I guarantee you they never read one. They don't have a clue. Right. They never read any material on any Bible.
Yep.
You say, why they do that? Because when they mail them in, they put a little sales paper in there that tells them how to sell it.
Yes.
In other words, they'll say that New King James, it don't change nothing but the these and the thous.
Right, right.
My brother got one time. I didn't want to discourage him. He brought it to the house and he showed it to me. And I said, "Well, that sure is a nice Bible. That's a nice Bible, leather and everything." And I didn't want to discourage him because he just got back to church. But I said, "Why don't you take it back and get you a King James?"
Amen, brother.
And he said, "Well," he said, "the clerk said they didn't change nothing in this but the these and thous, and it's easier to understand." I said, "Well, you can understand these, can't you?"
"Yeah, bro."
Why? He said, "Yeah." I said, "You can understand vowel, can't you?" He said, "Yeah." And I said, "I believe I'll just take it back."
All right.
That's what he did. He took it back. Amen.
Amen.
But you see, that goes into this next thing. Disobedient, but deceived. Deceived.
Right.
There was a time in our life when we were deceived.
That's right.
Yeah.
You see, we thought there was a time in our life in the past where we thought we could live any way we wanted to and get by with it.
Oh, yeah.
But the Bible said, "Be not deceived."
Amen.
God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap.
That's right.
He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Amen.
You know, this old Bible still says that whatever you sow, it's what you're going to reap.
That's right,
Amen.
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 And you know, it's only reasonable and right, because if you sowed your garden, you wouldn't sow corn and then go out there looking with a bucket to pick tomatoes.
Amen.
You know, if you sow corn, you're going to get corn. That's if you sow tomatoes, you're going to get tomatoes. Amen.
Amen.
And if you sow to the flesh, you're going to get what the flesh will produce.
Amen.
But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to get what the Spirit will produce.
Yes,
Amen.
Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 4, talking about the last days, Jesus said, let no man deceive you.
That's right.
No man. That means preacher man. That means president man.
Yeah.
That means a governor man. That means any man. That means a man like you.
Right.
Amen. Don't let anybody deceive you. You know, you can deceive your own self.
Right.
Right.
Bible talks about that, deceiving our own self.
Yeah.
You say, how can you deceive your own self? I'll tell you how you do it. And you know, sometimes you can say something so long, you start believing it yourself.
You're right.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. True.
You know, people say, well, preacher, I don't have time to go to church. They know they got time to go to church. But they've said that so long, they really started believing.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Well, their week's got 7 days just like yours and mine.
Amen.
Their day's got 24 hours just like yours and mine. They say, well, preacher, I work. Well, you know, everybody does something. We should. Amen.
Yeah.
Everybody does some kind of work. But we deceive ourselves into believing our own lie that the devil puts in our mind, Brother Eddie.
Amen.
The Bible said, Jesus said, don't let no man deceive you. Now, you know who's behind all the deception in the world tonight is
right.
The devil. Revelations 12 and verse 9, the Bible said that old serpent, that old devil, he deceived the whole world.
Yeah.
Pretty good deceiver, amen?
Right.
What's the old saying? You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. But the Bible said the devil had deceived the whole world, the Bible said, Brother Eddie.
Amen.
And there was a time where that he had deceived us, and so... In our past, we were deceived about a lot of things. I'm glad Jesus told me the truth about some things.
Amen. Amen.
About. You know, I thought some things were true because the person told them to me, and I thought, well, they'd have to be true because that person told me that. But you know what? That's like stuff on the internet. People say, well, this and this and this, and they say, well, it's true because I found it on the internet.
Right.
You know, a whole lot of stuff on the internet ain't true.
That's right.
I'm not that much internet savvy, but I do know there is some places where you can go on the internet to check things to see if they're true or not. But who knows if they're true or not.
Right.
So, I tell you, the only place to really check truth.
Yes.
Woo!
Amen.
All right.
Yep.
Yes.
Amen.
It's right here. That's the only absolute truth.
Amen.
I believe
Amen.
That tonight. Amen. And then he says this. He said they were disobedient. They were deceived. And then he says, and serving divers lust. I'm talking about our past. Serving divers lust and pleasures and living in malice, he says. Serving divers lust. There were things that had a hold on our life.
Yeah.
Some folks may have been in the bondage to alcohol.
Boy.
Thought you couldn't live without it. Divers lust. Some folks may have been addicted to cigarettes. I smoked myself for 13 years. You say, Brother Wick, wait a minute, we've got folks here that smoke. Well, I can't help that. Now, what I'm saying is I smoked myself for 13 years, and I thought I could not live without them. You say, what'd you smoke? Coon Miles. And I didn't think that it was even possible to drink a cup of coffee without smoking a cigarette.
Yeah,
right. I didn't think it's possible. Brother Nathan, I tried with everything in me to stop that. I tried twice with everything in me to stop it. I did stop it on my own. I stopped it, Brother Eddie, twice for 6 months. Both times after 6 months, I went back to it again. The last time that I stopped it, I didn't stop it. I took it to the altar. And I tell you, you say, what happened? Well, I didn't feel nothing. I didn't see nothing. I didn't experience anything. I do know that I was very humble. I do know that I meant business when I went down to the altar to pray about it. And all I know is when I got down there that night, God ground out the butt, and I ain't lived on since.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Free indeed.
I used to say I never did, hadn't wanted one since. But I can't really truthfully say that now. You say you want to start back smoking again? No, but when I used to go squirrel hunting, I like to get out in the woods, and you get out there and the old gnats start coming around you while you're sitting there under the tree, and used to you could fire up a cigarette and that smoke would make them old gnats go away, Brother Eddie.
Yeah.
And the only time I ever wanted one was one of the last times I went squirrel hunting, got to go, And I come upon that problem. Amen. But I found out that you can do this, they'll do the same thing. Don't cost $3 or $4 a pack or what they cost. Don't cost that. And it's not running your health, not destroying your lungs, and so all of that. Amen? And so, you know, we all have these divers lusts and pleasures. We enjoy doing it. We enjoy doing it. People enjoy their sin.
You're right.
That's why it's so hard to make people stop their sin, is because they enjoy it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
They enjoy it. I enjoyed mine. I enjoyed mine. And I even worked at it, Brother Eddie, and trying to get better at it, trying to be able to do more of it, trying to be able to do it in a better way. I was deceived. But I had pleasure in it. I was living in malice, but I'm glad that God took care of that.
Yeah.
Woo! That's my past.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
That's my past. Now God, when we get saved, He takes care of a whole lot of stuff.
Oh yeah,
whole lot of stuff. But most of us have a little something carry over. You know, God doesn't make anybody perfect, Brother Eddie. When they get saved, they're perfect in standing with Christ.
Right.
But we're not perfect down here, Brother Nathan, and we still have some things to work on.
Yes. Oh yeah,
I found out that the Lord does it this way, and it's in the Old Testament. When they go in and they would conquer them enemies in them other lands, the Lord told them, He said, "I'm going to conquer your enemies little by little.
Little by little.
Mm-hmm. Little by little." He didn't say we're going to whoop them all at one time.
Yes.
He didn't say that.
Amen.
He said we're going to get it little by little. I found out that's the way God does my life.
Yes, you're right.
Amen. He'll work on my home a little bit. Then he'll work on my prayer life a little bit. Then he'll work on my Bible study a little bit. Work on my preaching a little bit.
Amen.
Work on my witnessing a little bit.
Yeah.
And then when he gets to the end of working on all that, he just swings all the way over and starts all back over again.
Yes.
Amen.
Because by the time I get down here, I need some help back here again. That's the way the Lord does it.
Yes.
That's
Amen.
What He's going to teach us. We get on to heaven.
Amen.
But we see our past here. But let's look here. Let's don't focus too much on our past. Look here, verse 4 and 6. He talks about our past and hateful and hating one another and living in malice. But verse 4 says, "But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life."
Amen.
Now this verse marks a distinct change. Something happened. Something happened between verse 3 and verse 4. Plain to see. Not the same person. What is it that happened? Well, this verse marks the change here from the previous verse. And it shows us when it happened in verse 4. It tells when it happened. When did this happen? He said, "After that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared."
Yes.
One day God turned the light on. One day God lets you see how much He loved you and what God had done for you and where you was at. And God lets you see that. That's a wonderful day when God turns the light on. When I pray for sinners, I pray that God will turn the light on for them. Because the way I got it pictured in my mind, Brother Shock, he must have lived in the same kind of house that my grandmother lived in. Because when we would go down in the cellar to take a shower, we'd go down there and we'd go down the end of the step. It'd be so dark in there. And you reach out until you feel that string hanging down. And you pull that light on. And when you pull that light on, everything lights up. Amen. Everything's different when you pull the light on. I tell you, Brother Eddie, I could just see God doing that in my own life. But there was a time and God just reached His hand in my life and pulled the light on. And I began to see things different than I'd ever seen them before.
Amen.
You say, thank God for the kindness and love of God our Savior. Wasn't it kind of God to come by and speak to us that day we got saved?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Wasn't it kind for God to take time to come by? Wasn't it kind of the Lord to point out our condition, where we was at, where we was headed, and what was going to happen to us? I'm thankful that there was a time in my life that I can relate to verse 4 there. I can relate to the kindness and love of God that came into my life. That's what happened. You got saved.
Thank you.
That's when it happened. But look here why it happened. Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says why it happened. Wasn't anything I done. That's what a lot of people in this old world just can't grasp.
That's right.
That's why that there's a lot of people in this world that just cannot believe that God has forgiven them, or they cannot believe that they could be eternally saved. They cannot believe these great truths in the Bible. You say, why? Because they feel like they've not done enough.
Right.
They feel like they could have never done enough.
Right.
But the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we've done.
Right.
Works of righteousness, not evil things, works of righteousness, the Bible says. You know, there's some people that if you talk to them tonight about why they're saved, and I'm not kicking anybody tonight, but they'd say, I'm saved because I got baptized.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's something you did.
Yeah. Right.
That's a work of righteousness.
Yes.
You ask somebody, they'd say, I'm saved because I take the Lord's Supper every night, every Sunday I take the Lord's Supper. Nothing wrong to take the Lord's Supper. But that's something you do.
Yeah. Right.
You ought to take the Lord's Supper. But that's something you do. Somebody say, I got saved because I joined a church. Brother Rick, I joined a church. Well, joining a church is good, but that's something you do.
That's right.
You see, salvation is not explained in the word do.
No.
It's explained in the word done.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Jesus did it all.
Yes. Amen.
Hold him on. Hadn't always been of that persuasion. Didn't really know. Hadn't read and studied the Bible. Didn't really know. Went by what other folks said sometimes. Didn't know what the Bible said. But hadn't always been of that persuasion. But here's what the argument always was. Well, if you believe that, if you believe Christ done it all, and you don't have to do anything, then you'll just go out here and live any way you want to live.
No.
Uh-huh. But you see, it's right the opposite. When you realize Christ done it all,
bless him, Lord.
That he died for you, suffered for you, tasted death for you, went to hell for you, took the beating for you.
Yeah.
When you really realize that through the Holy Ghost of God, you become so grateful.
That's right, brother.
Right.
That somebody would do that for you, that you just want to live for them. Amen. You don't want to go back into sin. You don't want to live for the world. Nobody in the world ever did that much for me. Nobody in the world ever did that much for you.
Sure
I'm thankful tonight. Listen, I'm glad it's not by works of righteousness which we did. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Right.
You know, some people, Brother Eddie, they never have any joy in their salvation.
That's right.
Because they never get released from bondage.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean bondage? Well, they're always in bondage. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to keep doing this. No, you don't do things so you'd be saved.
Mm-hmm.
If you come to church tonight just so you'd be saved, you waste a trip.
Right. That's right.
You're saved tonight, you're already saved.
Yes. Right.
And you wasn't saved because you came this morning, came tonight, or you're coming back Wednesday night.
No.
You're not saved for those reasons, and I'm not going to stand up here and try to threaten you and deceive you into thinking that, thinking I might be able to keep you to come to church. If you don't come to church, if you don't do it because you love Jesus Christ, you won't keep coming anyway.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's the same way with tithing and giving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to stand up here and threaten that man there and just say, listen, if you don't tithe, God's going to make you sick. God's going to tear your car up. God's going to take your home away. God's going to do this and that. I'm not going to stand up here and threaten that man like that. You say, wow, I might get a few dollars out of him for a few years. He might do it out of fear. But if you don't give what you give to the Lord because you love the Lord, you'll quit giving anyway after a little while.
Amen.
I tell you, but once you realize where you're at with God and what he's done for you, you write that tithe check out or pull that cash out of your billfold, however how you do it.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
I tell you, it don't bother me one bit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I always feel like I need to write it for more.
Yeah.
You say, why don't you write it for more? I hate to give a cold check to the church. Amen. What I'm saying, we don't do these things to be saved. We don't pass out tracts. You know them, a lot of these cults, you see them out there, and I've heard people say, boy, the Baptists need to learn from the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Baptists, they need to learn from the Mormons. They're out there riding them bicycles. We got cars and won't even go. Them Jehovah's Witnesses, they're out there knocking on 100 doors every week. You couldn't get a Baptist to knock on one door in 2 years.
Right.
We need to learn from them. You know why they're doing that? They're doing it because they think if they don't do enough, they won't be saved and they'll die lost and go to hell.
Amen.
You think they got any joy or peace? No, they don't have any joy or peace. Because if they fail, then they're messed up again. Amen. But I'm glad I can go to bed tonight, Eddie. And I know that whether I did enough this week or didn't do enough this week, I know I'm saved because of what Jesus did. I'm not worried about how much I've done this week because He done enough on the cross to save me. That's good preaching.
Amen.
Hallelujah, brother.
I didn't even know I was going to do it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Brag on Jesus a little while.
Amen.
Always gets good to go to bragging on Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't
Amen. Yeah.
You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Also bragging on herself. Cold.
Yeah.
Gets colder and colder the more we brag on ourselves. But you go bragging on Jesus.
Yep.
It seems like it always gets good. Praise Lord, God.
For your help, yeah.
All right. That's it. That's why it happened. Not because of what I did, but because He did what He did. Who made it happen? Verse 6. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's who made it all. If it hadn't been for Him, we'd all be lost tonight.
That's right.
Going to hell without any hope.
Amen. That's right.
He died on that old rugged cross. Amen. He died, suffered, bled, went through what He went through because He loved us, because He loved me, because He loved you. He did all of that. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God my Savior made it happen. Baptist Church didn't make it happen.
That's right.
Amen.
God may have used them to preach to me, but they didn't make it happen. You know, some people think their church made it happen. No, sir, Jesus Christ made it happen. Amen.
Amen.
It's all because of Him. Praise God. All because of Him. Well, that's our present right now. It's different from our past. The kindness and love of God, our Savior's, come into our hearts. And we realize it's not by works of righteousness. You know, that's one of the greatest verses in the Bible on the salvation, verse 5.
That's right.
Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy. That's why
He saved us. Amen.
His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration. Somebody said there's baptism there. You didn't read far enough.
Yeah.
And renewing of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost renewed us. When He came in, the Holy Ghost renewed us. Amen. I talked to somebody not too long ago and he's all tore up. A young person. He's all tore up because they thought they had committed the unpardonable sin. They thought that they had sold their soul to the devil. Brother Eddie, I said, no.
Bless Him, Lord.
Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. If you're saved, you couldn't say you sold to the devil.
That's right.
Why is that? Because it says right here that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Yes.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Well,
it just seemed like their eyes lit up.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like that helped them, you know. It seemed like you just see them almost just set free. Mm-hmm. You know, the truth sets you free. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can be tied up with all kinds of old thoughts and bondages and all this kind of stuff. And then somebody just give you just a simple gospel truth.
Mm, amen.
Just set you free. The Lord did it. Now let's look here. I love that verse. So His mercy saved us for the washing, the regeneration, the healing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly. I'm glad He didn't just give us a little of it.
Amen, Brad.
You know, when He saved us, the Bible says in Isaiah, He abundantly pardoned us.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus said when He saved us, He gave us life abundant.
That's right.
And He says here that He gave the Holy Ghost abundant.
Amen.
Amen. I used to worry about that. You know, when I was a young Christian, back when I first started getting right with the Lord, before I started preaching, I mean, Brother Ed, I was hungry for God.
Bless you, brother. Praise the Lord.
I'd buy everything I could buy. I'd listen to everything I could listen to. I'd read everything I could read. I was hungry for God.
Hallelujah.
At that time, the charismatic Pentecostal movement was really booming in Glasgow and in a lot of places. It was really booming. There was a lot of talk about you know, about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, getting more God, and talking in tongues and all this stuff. You don't hear much about it no more. Nice young Christian. If God had something like that, I wanted it.
Bless you, brother.
God had something like that. If I was lacking, I sure wanted it. If God had something like that. And I was hoping, I wanted, I'd go, to, even went to them places, you know, looking at stuff like that. I wanted more God.
Bless you, brother.
I always pray, Lord, don't let me get deceived.
Amen.
Lord, help me know the truth.
Praise
Amen.
Right.
And we had a friend one time, and she come over to our house, and she's trying to get my wife to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And she come over and wanted to meet my wife at Walmart. It wasn't Walmart then. I guess it was Grant's or something like that. Maybe it was Walmart. Had a little cafeteria there, so we set up a time. I wasn't about to let her go by herself.
Amen, brother.
Not to meet that woman. We went in there and sat down. Lady come in there and sat down. And she come in, and she didn't look like these old holiness women. I looked like they might have had some holiness. You know, a little bun up on her head, white. Long flowing dresses. I'm not saying all that makes you holy, but I'm just saying some of them old holiness people like that, they kind of looked holy, but she didn't look holy.
Yeah.
And she come in there and pulled out a Virginia Slim.
Yeah.
This is what you need.
Yeah.
Start telling my wife what she didn't have. You say, what'd you do? Just sit there, listen, wave the smoke out of my face.
Yeah.
We got done, started out the car. We got in the car, and I got in the car, and my wife got in the car, and I said, I don't know what she's got, but if you ever get it, I'll kill you.
Amen. Amen.
She said, if you ever get it, did I kill her?
Yeah.
That lady's probably sincere, just deceived.
You're right, brother.
Probably just going through a little phase, you know, everything is going through then, a lot of little phases.
Sure.
But you know, Christian life's really important. Make sure that it's more than just a phase.
Yeah.
Make sure it's something that's in the Bible, it's real, something you can count on, something's going to last a while, amen?
That's right.
And boy, it's a good day in my life. I just kept reading the Bible, reading the Bible.
Man.
It's a good day in my life. When I go over there in Colossians, and the Bible said
complete.
That I am complete in Him.
Glory.
And the Holy Ghost said, there it is, boy.
Amen, brother.
He said, you've got everything anybody else has got.
That's right.
Yep.
You got as much of the Holy Ghost as anybody else has got.
I need nothing.
Now all you need to do is work on giving more yourself to what you got.
Yeah.
Giving more yourself to the Holy Ghost of God. And I do believe that. I do believe that.
Yeah.
I don't need to tell this, but I will. But I remember I was thinking, sitting in my office this season, I was thinking back in my past. You know, I'm preaching about the past. I was thinking about a time in my life, and I began to preach, and everything went good for a while. I was in that old building up there. And I don't know what happened. Everything just got off track. Man, I couldn't preach, and I just stumbled through every sermon and dreaded to see Sunday come, and couldn't get a hold of nothing. Eddie, seemed like it went on for a year. I don't know how long it actually was, but it seemed like a long time. I'd go up there in that old building, night, sometimes 1, 2 o'clock at night, I'd go up there, and I'd walk through there, try to get a hold of God. Seemed like just couldn't do nothing. Just nothing would work. It went on. I tell you, I was about to die. And one morning I got up and I told Max Helen, I said, I'm going to church. She said, it's too early. It's only like 6:30, 6 o'clock or something. I said, I know, but I got to go.
Bless you, brother.
And I went up there and got in that back Sunday school room where that old water fountain used to be. And I pulled every door, pulled the shade down, took my coat off, undone the tie. Me and God had a long talk.
Bless him, Lord.
There you go.
I got humbled. I got very humble.
Amen, brother.
I got honest with God, and I said, God, I don't know what you're doing.
Bless you, brother.
And I said, I feel like you've called me to preach. And I said, God, I haven't failed you. There hasn't been nobody saved. I can't even get a testimony out of anybody. And God, I want to preach, but Lord, if you don't do something today, I'm done. I didn't feel anything that day. I heard noise, people coming in. I got up and I walked into the bathroom, put my coat back on, my tie back on, washed my face where I'd been crying.
Bless the Lord.
I didn't feel like anything had happened to me.
It had.
But I went to the pulpit that morning. I went to the pulpit that morning and I began to read my scripture.
Yep.
I'm going to find it here if I can, because I can't quote it.
They had to wait up on the Lord.
But the Bible said over in Isaiah, this was what the text that I used there, talked about they that wait upon the Lord.
Amen.
They shall renew their strength.
Sure will.
He said they'll run and not be weary.
Yeah.
They'll walk, not faint.
Amen.
When I began to read my scripture that morning, Ivan, for the first time, and it seemed like a year, I felt God.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
I felt something, felt so good. It was the hot tears running down my face and dripping off.
Juniper tree, brother.
And I preached my sermon. Woo! The boy named Chris come down the aisle and got saved that day.
Yeah.
You say what happened that morning? You read the book of Acts where God fills them afresh and God fills them over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I think God filled me up again.
Hallelujah, brother.
And that year, if I remember right, it's been a long time, there were 56 people got saved that year.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, I'm honest. I told God this evening, a third room. I said, God, really, from that morning till now, I've never really quite been saved. It's been harder for me to get discouraged.
Bless you, yeah. Lord.
Yeah. It's been easier for me to face my battles. You say, what happened? I think the Lord just refilled me afresh. Amen. Sometimes as children of God, we don't lose the Holy Spirit. He's with us forever. I can't explain it, but sometimes we just need God to touch us afresh.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, children of God. Amen. Titus 3:7 starts in telling about where we are now, our future. And he says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Our future tonight, you know, there's only really one fortune teller. A lot of that on the TV a few years ago. And every town usually got a little house somewhere where somebody tells your fortune with a crystal ball or reads your palm or does tarot cards or somehow or another they tell you a fortune. That's all just baloney.
That's right, brother.
There's only really one true fortune teller. That's God.
That's right.
And you know what God can do? God can tell your future.
That's right.
He knows your beginning from your end. If you're lost tonight, God can tell your future.
Oh, yeah.
If you're saved tonight, God can tell your future.
That's all right.
If you're backslid tonight, God can tell your future if you keep going down that road.
Oh, yeah.
God's a real future teller, fortune teller. My future tonight's heaven.
Yes. Woo! Amen.
Your future tonight's heaven. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Going away to prayer place. If I go away to prayer place, I will come again to receive you unto myself. If where I am, there you may be also. Amen.
Amen.
John talks about heaven. Do us good every now and then. Turn over there and read.
You're right.
He said, I saw a new heaven, new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God's with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. Talking about your home if you're saved.
Yeah.
Talk about your future if you're saved. Amen. He said, God shall wipe away all tears.
That's right.
From their eyes and there shall be no more death.
No more.
Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
You know, I found out that verse is true. God can make all things new.
Yes.
Not just heaven. God makes a marriage new.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And he make mine new.
Amen, Brother Rick.
God can take an old sermon, Eddie, you've preached 100 times, God will make it new.
That's right.
You're right.
That's right.
God can take an old song we've sung
ever
since we were 6 years old, and God can make it new. We go to sing it.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
God's a God to make things new.
Yes.
You don't get nothing else I've said tonight, remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jot that down in your Bible.
Yeah.
Maybe your church going's got old.
Yeah.
Maybe your Bible reading's got old. Maybe your testimony's got old.
God can make it do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. He can make it do. Heaven's my home. I'm an heir of God.
That's right.
What he says here in verse 7, he says we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Would you be excited tonight? Suddenly you got a letter in the mail in the morning and they said they've been doing an ancestry thing and they found out that you're an heir to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And he's put you in his will. Be excited about that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Be heir. Well, about some millionaire, you'd be an heir to that, wouldn't you? Be excited about that. Are you excited now about being an heir of Jesus?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it, Ivan. I told it not too long ago, but it seemed like it fit good here. I need to tell it again about the old man that had the boys deformed, all twisted up, didn't favor nothing. But he loved that boy.
Yeah.
I found out people, it's, you know, they love their children, but I found out people that's got children that have a disability. If they're the right kind of parents, they seem that he would have a greater love for
that's
that
right,
child.
Right. Yeah,
right.
They know what it is.
Yeah.
Special.
Right.
The boy died after a while. His old father, he loved paintings, and he'd buy paintings all over the world. He loved paintings. When he died, finally the old man died, and had a big sale down there at his house. And had all them paintings setting up, expensive paintings. Some of them cost, up in the thousands of dollars. And right in the front, he had a picture of that old ugly boy. He had somebody do a self-portrait of that old ugly boy. And they started a bid, and they held up that old ugly picture of that boy. He said, "Who'll give me a bid on this?" And people drove everywhere at that sale, and nobody would give a bid on that picture. And finally, one old fellow in the back, he said, "I'll give $1 for it." And he said, "All right, I got $1. Who'll give me $2? Who'll give me $3? Nobody would give any more. And finally, he said, "Sold." That fellow in the back come down there, and he handed him the picture of that old ugly boy. The auctioneer went over and just sat down. The people began to get agitated and irritated. They began to stand up and yell, "Come on, man, we drove a long ways. Come on, we want to buy some of them other pictures." And finally, the auctioneer walked over there and he said, "The wheel said, woo! Whoever got the son got it all."
Yeah.
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 Hallelujah, brother.
Amen.
Spies to reject.
I'm glad I got
him. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen.
I'm glad I got him and he's got me and I'm
yes.
Tired.
Amen. Amen.
Now here's the thing of it tonight. I'll seal it with this. We have his promise on it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
people lie to you like suck egg dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You go to these business places and these politicians and people, they'll lie to you, say they're gonna do this, gonna do that, and they lie, just flat out lie to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd rather just tell me, I can't do it, I'm not gonna do it. Don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, "I'm going to do it," never do it.
Yeah.
People say, "Well, I tell you what, preacher, you got my word on it."
Yeah.
Most times don't mean a lot.
Right.
I tell you something does mean a lot. Chapter 1, verse 2.
Yeah.
"In hope of eternal life, which God doesn't say that will not.
Cannot.
But God that cannot lie. Promised before the world began." You say, what's that saying? I got his word on.
That's right.
I know that if I quit breathing tonight, if I have a chest pain tonight, and that's all of it.
Bless him, Lord.
I know, Eddie.
Woo!
I got his word on.
Glory, brother.
You know, Brother Hood died this week. And I don't see how he lasted as long as he did. They said he's just skin and bones. And he looked like a skeleton with skin stretched over. And I talked to a friend of mine that's a really good friend with me and the family. And he told me, he said, "Brother Rick," he said, "Oscar," that's Jimmy's boy. He said, "Oscar and his daughter was in the room with him when he died." And Oscar, he said, "I gotta go. Gotta go." He said, "I gotta hurry, I ain't got time. I gotta go. Said the last word out of that street preacher's mouth.
Bless him, Lord.
Mama. Mm. Yeah. That's what he called Sister Hood.
Hallelujah, brother. See through the glass darkly, then face to face.
I believe it.
Yes, sir.
Lord, I thank you tonight for meeting with us.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for blessing these little thoughts. Thank you, Lord, for adding to it.
Yes.
Thank you most of all for the good Holy Ghost of God.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Reaches down into the heart of the preacher. He brings up things new and old.
Yes.
He makes them all new. Now, Lord, I pray tonight, this message tonight, to help some child of God here tonight. We look back on our past, remember what we used to be, maybe still are in some ways, and still struggling with things, but at least we know we got God, we know we're saved.
Yeah.
We trust Him, He'll help us to get win them battles little by little. But our present right now, the Lord's with us, we know we're saved. And our future is glorious. We don't know what this old world is going to do. We don't know what's going to happen next.
Bless Him.
As far as the world in general, what they're going to do, it becomes a very dangerous place to live. The world's full of wicked men. But we're thankful, Lord, to know this, that we know that we have hope of eternal life.
Yes.
And God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Thank you, Lord, for being a God of your word.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for always giving us the truth. And Lord, you can't lie. That's what the Bible said, and I believe it.
Amen.
And Lord, have your way in this service tonight. We thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand, if you would, please, tonight. Brother Brian, come.
Yeah.
tenderness of the Holy Spirit that's been here tonight.
Yes.
I can't brag on any way, but I'll tell you what, I can sure brag
Amen.
On the one that saved him.
Yes.
I still remember the day I got baptized, a man I worked with, Mark Bunch. I remember he came to me and he said, I refuse to believe God could save someone like you. And I couldn't even argue with him. I really couldn't.
Right.
And he said, I want to hear your testimony. I told him, I said, Mark, all I know is I asked him to forgive me. Asked him to save me. And I said, he done it in spite of me. And I said, I still can't really put it to words, but I went and looked in the mirror and couldn't show nothing, but I ain't been able to hide it. And he hugged me and said, God bless you, brother. But and I'm glad, praise God, there's something down in my soul that
just can't shake it.
It's, God took his rightful place upon the throne of my heart, made me whole. I still don't know how to put it into words, but I'll tell you what, it's the best thing that anybody could ever experience in life.
Yes,
it surpassed all of the highs I ever had in life. I'm still just kind of enjoying it, savoring it. Just, hallelujah. I'm glad you can't lose it. I would want to. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right. Anybody else tonight? Word for the Lord.
I don't know what's going on with me, but
bless her.
I'm okay with it. I still feel blessed. And I want each and every one to remember Gordon in your prayers.
Bless her.
He needs a lot of support from his Christian family.
Bless her.
Amen. All right. Pray to Miss Alice. I'm having some sleep trouble. Thank you, Lord. You're asleep.
Yes.
All right. Anybody else? What else tonight?
Brother, I'd like to say that like to thank God for saving me, and I just think back over the years. I never want to live in the past again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that God forgives my past.
Yeah.
I can live in the future because I am
saved. Those things that are behind.
Amen. The Bible says forgetting those things which are behind.
Amen.
Pressing on such people.
I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. Thank you for the day that I forgave. You know, my sister.
Yeah.
When she walked in here today, it was such a blessing.
Amen.
You know, that's a prayer right there.
That's right, Sister
Peggy. Amen.
With 6 years. 6 years that we lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our children were little.
Yeah.
Six years that they don't even know their cousins. They don't know their aunts.
Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. It ain't worth it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, brother. Amen. Somebody else.
I thank the Lord for saving my son.
Amen.
I'm so grateful we have a forgiving God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. Anybody else?
I
want to
thank the Lord for the message tonight.
Yeah. Yes. Good.
Amen.
Well, my wife thinks you just know it's good.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
I heard somebody say it. I heard somebody say the hardest job in the world is a preacher's wife.
Coming and going.
Because she has to lie to her husband every Sunday.
Yeah, right.
She has to say, honey, that's the best sermon I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
That was good preaching.
Yeah.
My wife, I can also say, now she's never told me I preached a bad sermon.
Hmm.
Some nights she just didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else?
I want to thank the Lord for my salvation. I thank Him for that all the time.
Amen.
I thank Him for your service today. It's everybody right in here, buddy.
Good.
Amen. I appreciate it. You know how much I appreciate the preaching you do.
Sure. Amen.
And I need more of it, and more, and more, and more.
Amen.
God's willing, and you are still alive. I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo!
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Now, I'll tell you what that's like. You ladies do a lot of cooking. You don't mind cooking if somebody will eat it, do you?
That's right, brother.
Right.
They eat it, brag on it, talk about how good it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you just want to cook some more. You
that's right, brother.
Cook. That's the way preaching is. You got somebody that says, brother, I like that. That's good. I need more of it.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll do my best to get him more of it.
Amen, brother.
All right. Somebody else.
Kept bringing it up. And I said, honey, have you asked God to forgive you? And she said, well, yeah. And I told her how the Bible says that
you ask God for forgiveness, he casts it into the sea of forgetfulness. And I said, every time you bring it up, he's thinking, what are you talking about?
All right.
And I think we'd all be better off if we stopped remembering what God has forgotten.
Amen. So far.
And it's old devil, does it?
Yeah.
Like I said, just keep telling him about his future. He won't want to hear that, so maybe he'll quit telling you about your family.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right, anybody else? All right, yes, Brother David.
Thank the Lord for saving me. I thank him for his mercy and grace.
Amen, brother.
To me and my family. I thank him for a good church
where
I'm taught the word.
Amen.
I've learned a lot since I've been here.
Amen, brother.
I thank you for the messages you bring and the other preachers you bring in here, Brother Good and others.
Yes.
It's taught me a lot over the years and brought out things that I probably never got out of the Bible on my own.
Amen.
And I don't take that for granted. I know I've got a good place to go.
That's right.
And, you know, I talk to people, other Christians even, and I feel sad for them because I feel like some of them are just skating along, kind of like,
Like
they don't want to know what's going on.
No,
I don't doubt that they're saved. You know, there's a lot of them, I really believe they are saved, but I just believe they're deceived. You know, they don't really know. I just wish I could get them the truth, you know, like what we get.
Amen. Kind of like going to school all your life, and you know, you hear about these kids go to school all their life, and they get out, and they can't write or read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's what some people are.
That's true, brother.
Where they attend church. Mm-hmm. They're all their life, and they get out, they don't know more than they did when they started.
That's right, brother.
Got saved, thank God for that, but they never learned anything else. Mm-hmm. Once you get saved, then you need to move on past that.
That's right, sir. Grow.
I mean, you never get over it, but you want to move on, begin to grow. Go on past that, go into Christian maturity, forgetting those things that are behind, going on into perfection, forgetting of those dead works and all that stuff. All right, anybody else tonight? Appreciate you coming out. We wound up with a good crowd tonight. Praise God.
Amen.
It's wonderful. All right, then, we're going to let you go, and I hope you'll come back Wednesday night, be much in prayer for